and welcome to another episode of Tilted Pod. I'm your host, Seth. Don't call me Jack Wiles, and I'm sitting here with the Tilted Daywalker.
Bada boom!
Nate Morris, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, how you doing?
I'm doing fabulous on this, wonderful Tuesday evening. You'll probably be hearing this on a Wednesday. It is nice outside for, you know, winter. It's almost December, dude.
Yeah, it's super warm today, too.
Yeah, it's nice. It's so nice. I really like it. And I'm doing great because we're going to talk about the greatest game of all time, Magic the Gathering. Again, this is a podcast meant for those grinders, those busy grinders that they just want to stay connected to the game somehow, though. And we're going to try to keep you in the loop, in the know-how, because we know everybody's got a busy schedule. We've got a busy schedule. And I'm sure you do too. So, starting off this week, like we do every week, we're going to talk about what we did. And Nate, what'd you do in Magic this week?
Well, I didn't get a chance to do a whole lot.
Of course you didn't.
I took Saturday off. I just got Assassin's Creed. I've been on the road a lot with my job. I just wanted to, you know, some video game time, so I took a little bit off. I have started going through my cards again. My collection is pretty vast in my foils and stuff. I have almost put together Jeskai Control. I'm also working on putting together the rest of Fish, Burn, and Storm just to have around, just to play with.
Just kind of have those decks as your options, arsenal.
My arsenal.
Your arsenal of decks and some nice testing fodder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. Together, we now here in the new space, the basement, our new studio. With our both of our collections here, we have quite a bit to practice with.
Yeah, we can play almost anything.
Almost any deck. We don't have duplicates or anything, but for the most part. But we have a lot to be able to just run at each other, which is nice when you're testing.
Yeah.
We're pretty lackluster when it comes to standard, though. We've got two decks, kind of three.
Almost three.
I will say this. I love playing the standard deck right now. The mono black aggro we had you take two. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's one of my favorite decks.
Yeah, it's great. I think that deck was super fun, and I think that we just need to tweak it a little bit. I wish we would have got to play with it a little bit before to make some sideboard changes, but yeah, it was super
fun. Well, I wish
there
was just a standard tournament to play. I did play in the standard challenge, Saturday challenge or whatever, showdown.
Yeah.
I did play in that, but I only played two people, and I crushed them both. It wasn't really a thing, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, I only played one person, and it was mostly just for fun. You know, I forgot the rest of the crushing I did was on the draft, Iconic Masters draft. So this week in Magic, I've been seriously going down that Iconic draft hole.
Yeah.
Your draft hole. Are you draft hole? Your draft hole. So
put the finger in the draft hole.
Yeah. So Friday night we went and played Modern.
Mm-hmm.
You did not go that either, did
I didn't
you?
Go that
yeah.
Either.
So Friday night we played Modern. I am on this Eldrazi and Taxes kick, but I'm doing it in a lot of different ways. So I'm playing this Eldrazi Staxes list I've been working on with MTG Salvation with a couple of people, Spider Space, and also Stabilo.
Mm-hmm.
It was a while back we were working on this list. It's called Eldrazi Staxes instead of Taxes. It's basically mono white big Thalia Eldrazi, right? So you're still playing. You're playing Chalices because you're playing Simeon Spirit Guides pitch. You're playing a lot of Gemstone Caverns. You're playing, you know, your beat down 5/5 Tramplers, the Scuttling Bucket. You know,
I remember in Sun and Moon that Gemstone Cavern was just insanely good on some
place. And this deck, it's so good whenever you get those Thalias out or those Chalices out on one. It's like you're stealing the play on the draw. So I was like, you know what? I really miss playing these strategies. I think I'm just going to stick to those for a while. And there's a lot of versions of it. So every Friday, I don't feel like I'm playing the same deck. I can go black white Eldrazi and Taxes, Eldrazi Tron, big white Eldrazi with Chalices and Simeon Spirit Guides, red white, or this mono red version I've been working on that's playing Hazoret main and Harsh Mentor as you're taxing. It's pretty sick. That deck's nice.
I really like Hazoret, and I've really come around to him. I didn't like him at first. I thought the card, I didn't know that it was going to break into Modern. I thought it was definitely going to be standard good. It has a lot of ways to just beat you up in standard. And I thought in Modern, like, maybe not. And then I saw it in Jund. I've seen it in some other decks. Like, it has done so well.
I will say this. When I'm playing online and I'm playing big red Eldrazi, it's one of the cards I'm almost always hoping to draw. I really want it. It's like 5 and 6 Reality Smasher with upside in case you can't attack, in case something's going on, and it's so hard to deal with. It's equally as hard to deal with than, you know, Reality Smasher, except if I've got a Chalice on one, there's very few ways that you're going to get that off the board.
Yeah.
Because your paths just don't work anymore, buddy. It gets countered.
And I thought for sure Path was going to be the reason why Hazoret couldn't get in. I mean, it just isn't. I mean, Path is not even that great in that deck.
Well, if it still can just get in for 5, you know, that one turn...
That's disgusting, though.
Yeah, I really like the deck so far. I'm going to continue to work on the big red Eldrazi. I'm probably going to put a couple videos up of that, since that is one that I haven't seen anywhere else. The big white, again, that was originally a Stabilo creation, and shout out to him and MTG Salvation Crew who really helped develop that deck. Still a great deck. Love it. Love casting early Thalias, big Thalia or little Thalia, and love casting Chalice on turn one. And I will say this, though. On Friday night, I did not play against a deck that Chalice was good against. So, I kind of just lost. I mean, I had really good games. Eldrazi Displacer is sick, disgusting. But it's just, I didn't have that was it. My top end was a 5-drop. Everything really relied on my first 2 turns. Mm-hmm. I have these huge turns where I'm casting like turn 1 Chalice, turn 2 Thoughtknots here. You think that's enough to get by. But if Chalice doesn't stop them, if they're playing a creature combo deck, you're just behind, you know. Yeah. You can't really get back. It's kind of like Sun and Moon in a way where I have my Sun and Moon has a faster clock, but I'm still playing these same taxing effects, these same things, and I'm really going through a lot of cards to get these cards out early and things like that, have powerful plays. But if they kind of overcome that, or if it doesn't really tax or stop them, I just kind of lose because they have the better cards. They have the long game.
And I will say our meta is probably not built for a competitive deck like that. We have a lot of unusual decks that kind of go big or combo off.
Yeah. What do I got going on? So after that, then we had the Standard Showdown and Iconic Masters. Standard Showdown basically didn't happen. Like I said, I got to play one game, mono black, loved it. It was so fun. Then we went into draft, my first Iconic Masters draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had very little faith going in. I had not watched a draft yet. I have not watched a draft yet. And the only thing I had heard, though, was that it wasn't very fun and that there was one deck that was pretty house, and it was called White-Black Life Gain. I didn't even know all the payoff cards in the deck.
Okay.
But I did know that I was like, that's the only thing I've heard is good. I'm going to go for this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the deck is insane. I got a lot of cool things. So you've got like Sanguine Bond. You've got Viscopa Guildmage.
Okay.
You've got, I was drafting, what's the Bubbling Cauldron with some Festering Newts. I was doing some insane stuff where I wasn't even having to attack. I was just activating my Viscopa Guildmage, stacking the triggers, sacrificing things, having you lose life equal to the life I gain, sacking stuff to Newt, you know, killing people without ever
swinging.
So I go to the final round, 2-0, playing my boy Aaron Taylor.
AT.
He's playing Mill with Glimpse the Unthinkable. So awesome. I mean, we're playing great, cool cards.
Yeah.
And we get to game 3. I have 0 cards in my library. He is at 4 life. And during my upkeep, I'm able to activate my Viscopa Guildmage, sack it to Cauldron, and do exactly 4 to him before I draw and die. It was one of the coolest games I've ever played. We were just both doing things that Magic normally doesn't do. You know, we were fighting on a different axis. So it was awesome. And then after that, I was like, dude, I got to film some of these for the channel. So I just started drafting online. I did a Blue Bite Mill deck where I got Glimpse. And then I did Naya Walls this morning. That video might be coming out later today.
Oh, snap.
Naya Walls was pretty tight. I had Jotty Offshoots mixed with Archangel of Thunes, just getting triggers for days, baby. It was cool, man. So I think Iconic Masters is really awesome. Here's the problem with Iconic Masters, Nate. It's ruining prices. I mean, that's okay. That's okay, because Modern should be an affordable format.
Yeah.
But for somebody who has a lot of cards, sometimes it's kind of a bummer, but I would still like more people to play with more powerful cards, because it makes me a better player if I get to play against the you know, T tier decks. Let's actual say tier decks. Yeah. I don't really like saying that, but yeah, if you get to play against the better cards, then it's better. So I like that it's like people are able to get into it. I feel bad for your LGS though, because big box stores like Walmart are getting it. And boxes are now online for $150.
Yeah, super cheap.
You know, Thoughtseize are going for $15 now.
$15. Star City, $15.
Yeah, so my lore, and they didn't even change the art. So my Lorwyn arts, my original Lorwyn arts, they don't even retain that much value because the new art is fine and it's got the symbol.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Where do you stand on Iconic Masters and how it is? You haven't got to draft it yet, but I think as a buyer,
I'm super interested in it at a certain point. I would like to draft it. Maybe I've heard ups and downs about the drafting experience, but it's definitely crushing prices.
Yeah.
I mean, and there are certain niche cards that are doing really well, you know, like Vorklix is pretty much holding some value and the foils are all holding value. Cryptic Command is still doing well, you know, but other cards are just getting crushed. And, you know, it's cool to see cards like River of Tears get a reprint and, you know,
Nimbus Mage and Grove of the Burn Willows.
Groves and Supreme Verdicts, like cards that were like a little more expensive than what they should have been. Sarah Ascendant. I always thought Sarah Ascendants were ridiculously expensive for a deck that doesn't even, you know,
right.
Actually.
Yeah, I have one of those played in my draft deck. That was kind of fun. Never turned it into a 5/5, but it was still fun.
Yeah. But it's just crushing the prices on some things. I mean, we've seen since I've started playing, Thoughtseize has been printed 3 times now.
Yeah.
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 And so
it's kind of wild. Yeah, I will say this though. Play it, have fun. Check out our videos if you want to watch it being played poorly. I'm not doing too bad though. I've at least 2-1'd, 3-0'd or 2-1'd every draft. I'm feeling pretty good about it. It is a fun set to draft. I don't know though at what point it gets kind of stale because some of the games are pretty slow. Mm-hmm. A couple of the games are like, oh my gosh, this is dragging on forever because there's the wall deck. There's a lot of control decks.
Yeah.
You would love that. And if you want to make it go fast, you can. There are some aggro decks that are just hard to draft.
Yeah.
So that's Iconic Masters. That's what we did this week. Now, we got the Season 2 Invitational coming up, Star City Games Invitational. Ooh, this weekend. And that is going to be a Modern Invitational, Modern First.
Mm-hmm.
Invitational is always a big thing, man. This is like a mini Pro Tour. I mean, it's not. Obviously, it's not the Pro Tour level, but it is getting harder and harder to qualify than it used to be. And people get really excited for it. There's a lot of money on the line. So in lieu of that being this weekend, we're going to break down some recent modern deck lists that have been on Magic Online. There was a regional PTQ this last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about the 7-1 list. We're not going to list off a whole lot of the other ones, but we will. I will say this. The top card in this regional PTQ was Lightning Bolt. The Bolt is back.
Well, it's got to be Jeskai Control. I mean, just bringing it back.
It's huge. That's a huge part of it.
Huge
I think,
part of it.
I actually think the Bolt coming back is why Jeskai Control is coming back.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree with that, too. Because your top three cards are actually Lightning Bolt, Serum Visions, Snapcaster Mage. Heck, you even go
and
down...
And Path to Exile?
You even go down to 5, it's Path to Exile Remand. You
yeah,
know?
So we're looking at 100%, like, Jeskai Control is on top right now, guys.
Yeah.
This deck is crazy. I don't even know, you know, whoa, somebody's calling me. I don't even know what else to say about it. This is like the number one deck right now. This is yeah. on top. So for the 7-1 list, these guys are going to the Pro Tour. We've got Flippids. He's playing Boggles. This I've seen pop up. We're going to talk about this list a little bit more. I hate this list, but I don't hate it. But this is one of those decks that like if you don't want to interact with your opponent and you just want to crush some noobs, you play Boggles.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing expensive is you got 4 Horizon Canopies. They were reprinted, but they are holding their value. Leyline of Sanctities, and I think Ethereal, or what is it? Daybreak Coronet. Yeah, those aren't even that much right now.
No, they were expensive for a minute there.
They were, and then yeah, they for a down. Little while they were really expensive. Yeah. But this is a deck where no one can interact with you, and you can't interact with them. Let's just hope they don't have an Engineer Explosives or Chalice on 1, and we should win this game.
Or Liliana. And that's the reason why I think this could sneak by. Grixis Death Shadow is becoming a little more thin in the tournaments. And perhaps if you can, well, you know, fade fade some of those black decks, you get out of it.
It's exactly why. I think that if you're playing, if Jeskai's the number one deck right now and they have so much targeted removal, they're probably only playing a couple board wipes and you have totem armors for those.
Yeah.
They can't deal with any of your things. Yeah. Like, you are just going to crush them. And I think that's why we'll see a 7-1 list in the in this challenge. Or a 7-0 list in the challenge and this 7-1 list here in the modern regional PTQ. We also have Burn by Mikey Holmes. Burn, what else can we say about Burn?
It's always going to be there.
It's just going to be there. It's like Affinity. Burn is going to be there waiting in the wings, waiting in the wind, and just and hoping to get you. But a list that's starting to get more popular is the Elves. The Elves with Growing Rights of Itthamok.
And that's interesting to me. I just can't get behind it too much. I feel like Elves puts out a tremendous amount of mana as it is.
Yeah.
And so now we're adding a card that produces more mana. You know, it does. I guess you don't have to flip it. So maybe that's where we're at. But
I think the other thing, though, is it enters the battlefield. And you get a look for your Azuri.
Yeah.
Or you get a look for your Vizier. Yeah. Or any one of your combo pieces. Because Elves is now running a one of Vizier of Remedies. So they can go Devoted Druid, combo off, kill you. It's hard to deal with. But with Jeskai Control being back on top. And I mean, I've even seen Fork Bolt being run in some lists.
Yeah.
That seems like, Elves seems like it might start to fall off. But they can just swarm you out and kill you. I mean, they have those hands that are pretty nuts. But Elves, 7-1 list. I mean, I like Elves. I've tried playing it. But Jeskai Control, we've got 2 7-1 lists. XHPC 007 and Goburn
007.
These lists are a straight up the list. You know, one of them is running a Resto Angel. I don't think both of them are.
No, just the one.
But Geist of St. Traff, we used to not really be into that card. I will say this. I got behind the 8-ball on a Geist of St. Traff in a video playing Eldrazi Tron the other day. And it crushed me. I mean, if they stick it and get to untap, 2 hits and you're dead. You're just dead. There's very little you can do. I've been talking to some people about it, and they're like, we're winning games that we would never win because of this Geist. Nate, you're still on the fence about Geist, though,
right? I am on the fence. I don't know why I'm on the fence, but I'm on the fence.
I think it's just going to take you playing with it and winning a couple of games that you haven't seen. The other one is running no Geist, and it's 2 Vendilion Clicks. And now this is the way I would like to go. This is probably how I would play deck. This is actually the exact list I would probably run. You got your 4 Spell Quellers, 4 Snaps, 2 Vendilion Clicks, 4 Lightning Bolts, 4 Ops, 4 Path, 3 Serum Visions, 4 Lightning Helix, 3 Logic Knots, 1 Electrolyze, 2 Cryptic, 2 Search, 22 lands. I really like this list. This is, like, to me, this is what I would build. If I was just going on preference.
Yeah. I would maybe try and find another spot for a second Electrolyze. I think that card's really good in a lot of matchups. But other than that, it looks really good. I like Search for Ascanta. I think that card's great. And I like the 2 Vendilion Clicks. I used to not like V-Click a whole lot. I thought that card was always a little bit wasted. Because it always dies, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're just giving them something to kill. But once you play with it and get that card out of their hand, man, it feels so good.
I'll tell you something I like about this deck, too. We got, for your Graveyard Shenanigans, we've got a Grafdigger's Cage and 2 Ravenous Traps. This deck is not playing
Rest in Peace,
because they never want to turn off their Snapcasters. They've realized that Snapcaster is way too important for them. Their Search for Ascantas are too important, and their Logic Knots, they don't want to ever board them Rest in Peace. So to deal with the graveyards, they're going to play that Graf and the Ravenous Trap. I mean, Graf Diggers can turn it off, but it doesn't turn off Logic Knot. I just think that's really cool. Ravenous Trap, if you don't know, if opponent had 3 or more cards put into his graveyard from anywhere this turn, you can pay 0 rather than pay its mana cost, and it's exile all cards from target player's library. Or not library, that would be insane. Graveyard. I really like it. What do you think about that?
This one I don't really like. First off, it's black. You're never going to cast it.
You don't need to, though. Coming in for the... You can't cast 0.
Yeah, but you're never going to be able to cast it, like, legitimately. And I feel like a lot of decks other than Dredge can play around it. Like, Storm can kind of play around it for a minute and stockpile their stuff long enough to where even if you cast it, they can probably still go off. You know what I mean? You're, when do you actually cast this card in Storm? After the third spell, or do you wait for Passing Flames? What if Passing Flames never comes? You know what I mean? I just feel like this card...
I feel like this card is really good against Storm. Like, I don't really know how they beat it. They go for... I mean, like, they have to... It's super hard for them to play around because they go for their Gifts Ungiven. Mm-hmm. That's three cards in the graveyard.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exile your entire graveyard.
Yeah, and you get that once. You got one shot at it.
Two in your thing. But that's how you beat them. You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess so. I still think they can play around that, though.
It's pretty hard. I think it's really good against Storm. I think Dredge has better play around than that does.
Maybe.
Because you get like one good... You only get like one good Dredge. Rest in Peace is definitely better against Dredge. Against Storm, though, they have one big turn where they kind of need all that, and then you just exile their graveyard.
I mean, I don't know. I also think it's pretty good against...
Rest in Peace is better, but the thing is... Rest in Peace turns off your Snapcasters. You know what I mean? Like, I like where he's going with that, where he's trying to think on his feet. Like, he's trying to bring something new to it, going, mm-hmm. hey, I don't want my... I realize how good my Snapcasters are. I don't want to board them out. I don't want Rest in Peace. I want something else that can just kill their graveyard.
Right.
And it's a little bit better than just boarding in four ley lines of the void.
I agree with that. So
you don't have to... Like, you have, like... two cards in your deck that just kills them or that just stop their thing. It is also good against like Grixis Death Shadow or whatever when they're mm-hmm. like Thought Scour, Fetch, and you're like exile your graveyard and you can't cast your Gurmag Angler or the new deck that's the Black Red Hollow one.
Yeah.
But I agree. Either way, I'm for it. I kind of like the change, but 100%, I think everybody agrees that Rest in Peace is a better card all around, and it is going to stop those better. Mm-hmm. They can't though. Gifts get an Echoing Truth, bounce your ley line, and then go off. You know what I mean? Like, so mm-hmm. this stops them in one shot, and people don't play around this card really.
Yeah,
right. They play around the others. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. It is, Rest in Peace is just simply a better card. But I think it's cool. Another deck that is at 7-1, which this deck is popping up crazy, man. I really want to build it. I want to see what's up, but I've told myself I'm not doing this anymore, man. I'm not going to keep building decks. Mardu, this deck is awesome. Like, I hate Mardu, but when I look at this, this is really just black red with a tiny bit of white for Helix and Lingering Souls.
Yeah.
And a couple of white cards on the sideboard, mainly just Wear and Tear and Console of Allocations. We're looking at two Monastery Swift Spears, where that's just a weird number already. So it's kind of funny. But I think this goes a long way. Monastery Swift Spear does. Young Pyromancer, who is house in this deck. Four Bedlam Revelers, which is also house in this deck. You've got four Faithless Suitings, two Fork Bolts, one Burst Lightning, four Inquisitions, four Lightning Bolts, three Thoughtseize, one Dreadbore, two Helix, two Terminate, two Call Against Command, and four Lingering Souls, and one Blood Moon just for a little extra flair. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this deck? I mean, this is control to me.
Yeah, for sure. This is a lot of removal.
A ton of removal and a clock, because you got Young Pyromancers, Monastery Swift Spears, and Bedlam Revelers that can put damage on.
Mm-hmm. I think the Young Peasy probably dies 100% of the time.
Right, but you got four of them. Yeah. I mean, and you got Call Against Command to bring him back.
Yeah.
I think Bedlam Reveler is going to draw you three cards, you know, all the time, and it's going to mostly cost two mana.
Mm-hmm.
And a 3/4, you know, for, is it a 3/4 or 3/5? 3/4 with Prowess that costs two and draws you three cards, you know, and you're dumping stuff like Lingering Souls. So you've got, you can go wide and just chip in damage while protecting yourself, and you can remove the crap out of them. I mean, they can't cast anything on you.
Yeah.
And you could just even stick a Blood Moon. You got more Blood Moons in the sideboard. You got a Dragon Claw, so see you burn. Have a good time fighting through that. Shattering Spree, Pithy Needle, Fatal Push. That's so crazy that Fatal Push is in the sideboard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not even Fatal Pushes in the main deck because you got unconditional removal like Terminate and Dreadbore, and like we said, Lightning Bolt's back, and so is Fork Bolt.
Yeah,
you know. So that was Mardu, and then we got a 7-in list, Merfolk list. This Merfolk list was a little interesting in the fact that it's mono blue, so it's not the blue green that we've been seeing.
Mm-hmm.
except they are running a couple weird cards, right?
Yeah.
So they're running the Sig River Cutthroat. Why don't you tell us about that card?
So, and I've tried playing with this in my Merfolk deck. At the end of turn, if an opponent lost three or more life this turn, you may draw a card. It's a 1/3. It still dies to bolt. It dies to a lot of stuff. But it is a Merfolk, so if you have a Lord out there, it goes to a 2/4.
No longer dies to bolt.
No longer dies to bolt. And it
dies to Fatal Push, but...
Dies to Fatal Push, but it's a cool
one. No one's playing Fatal Push.
It's a cool one of. The strange thing about this deck is that it's cut its Harbingers of the Tides for Phantasmal Images. And I think that's kind of interesting. I kind of like it. I guess it gives you more play as for like Tarmogoyfs and stuff like that. And, you know...
Or just, I mean, copy your lords.
Yeah, now copying got, lords is
now
always
you have
good.
How many lords?
yeah, now you 11? Have 11. There's also a Cryptic Command. There's a one of Cryptic Command. I don't really agree with that.
I think that one's interesting.
Yeah, that one's interesting. And it's probably came up so many times where it's not good that I just can't imagine it being good.
But it is the blowout, though, when you're at that point where you're like, I need to tap your team and swing for lethal. And you actually have something to do that now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they never show that card until they just kill you, right. You know, with it. Yeah. You just are, you're like, okay, I didn't realize that was going to happen. Or they go, they're like, all right, we're going to win this. We're in a race war. And then all of a sudden you get Cryptic out of nowhere because Merfolk never plays Cryptic Command. Mm-hmm. I think it's the gotcha factor in this. So I think I'm kind of on the opposite end there. I wonder how many games Cryptic won them just because no one played around it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true too. You have to play around it a lot, but I just feel like one isn't the number I'd want. Two, I could see two, you know. I just feel like the card's that good that you would probably want to have two if that's actually your win condition.
We got one more in the sideboard.
You do have one more in the sideboard. So, like, trying to fit that one into the main board is probably good.
And heard it here first. Buy your Ravenous Traps because there's two more in the sideboard of this. We also have Glen Alondra, which I like. Three Hercules Recall, a Spell Pierce, a Gravedigger's Case, some Dispels, and Ceremonious Rejections. Your typical Merfolk kind of counter package. I think it's a deck I've never really played, but I kind of want to try out Merfolk too, man. There's a few decks that I just want to try that I've never really played. I like the beatdown strategies every once in a while, and this one looks like probably possibly the best beatdown deck there is. I mean, I think it's still probably better than humans.
Yeah.
And the other one is Caleb, sure, got there with You Are Giftstorm. Again, this is the Giftstorm without fetches, guys. This is a very reasonable modern deck. Under $300 paper and $150 online, and you can play one of the premier decks in modern currently. Mm-hmm. You know? He's running three Ops, a Noxious Revival, three Grape Shots, three Remands, two Passing Flames, and then the rest of the stuff. But he's got snow-covered islands and mountains, Steam Vent, Spire Bluff, Island, Mountain. You know, he's just Shivan Reef. There's nothing like that. I don't know. The deck is affordable. I really like the deck. Is this the version you're building? Fetchless?
Yeah, Fetchless.
I think I want to... If I have Storm built, it's with fetches. I think I'm going to switch it over to Fetchless. And then that helps me build other decks with my fetches, you know? Yeah. So you're not... his sideboard... Both of his empties are in the sideboard. A Wipe Away, which is really good. Four pieces of the puzzle now on the sideboard. I think that card's really helped this deck out. A Dismember, three Bolts, two Shattering Sprees, and a Giga Drowse. I also think Giga Drowse is really good.
Yeah, I can see a lot of situations where Giga Drowse would just be a blowout for the Storm opponent. I mean, especially if you don't see it coming, it could just be awful.
Some notable decks, though, in the 6-2 bracket, there's a lot of blue-red, Storm, there's some UW Control, some Titan Shift, Mono Blue Tron, more Jeskai Control humans, Grixis Death Shadow, just one, Eldrazi Tron Burn, and a bunch of affinity lists. We're not going to go through all those lists. We just really want to talk about the ones that went 7-1, and we're going to the Pro Tour now.
Yep.
I really like those lists, but that brings us on to the Modern Challenge, right? And we're going to talk about the 6-1 lists and above. The only 7-0 list was Boggles, and we just talked about Boggles a second ago, and this is where, again, I think that if Jeskai Control is going to be the number one deck right now, you know, or Jeskai Tempo, whatever you really want to call it, Jeskai Burn, almost. Mm-hmm. Boggles is really well positioned.
Yeah. And this list particular is running pretty much stock. I think that just there's so many good cards in Boggles that get to play together. Its sideboard is a sideboard that I really enjoy. A lot of people forget that disenchant's a card. You know what I mean?
God, disenchant is such a blowout sometimes. You just forget. Two mana, destroy artifact or enchantment. It's so good.
Yeah.
How is that card so good? It just is, though.
It just is, yeah.
So the Doomblade for so many weird things.
I do like the Dryad Arbor in this list. I can't remember if the last one had the Dryad Arbor.
I think you kind of have to. I'm not sure if it did. I'm sure it did, though, if it went 7-1, because you got to have a way to beat that Liliana.
Yeah, and just being able to fetch it out and sacrifice it.
Yeah, it's super important. Guess what? Fan of the cast, fan of the, we're a fan of him. Jay Snyder, 207 times. Him and his girlfriend, I made that joke on the video. Jay Snyder, 207. My boy holding down amulet combo. He is not playing his tricky amulet version. He's not playing the one with Retreat to Coral Helm, but I know he's working on that. He's also working on one that has a Lotus Cobra, I've heard. I'm excited to see his new list. Hopefully, we might even get him on the cast at some point to talk about Amulet, because he's been piloting this for a little bit and doing really well. Titan combo is just awesome. It's still a deck that I love, near and dear to my heart. I will always have this deck, and I mean, it's fun. He's playing 28 lands. He's playing 4 amulets, 1 engineered explosives, 2 dismembers maim, which is now kind of the what we're having to go to. 1 tireless tracker main, 4 Azusas, 1 walking ballista. You know, it's amulet titan.
It looks fun.
Yeah.
You gotta play really tight, I feel like.
You have to play very tight. Or you could get really, really lucky. Yeah. But I've been playing a version lately, I've told you online, that is Lotus Blooms. And Hive Minds again.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy that. It gives you another one of those, just cast your Titan for, you know, it just gives you more of the explosive power. Yeah. So on turn 3, you could go off a lot of different ways. You don't have to have that Azusa or Sakura Tribe Scout. I don't know if I think it's any better. I just think that, I mean, our boy, he's making his name for himself with this deck. So congratulations to you, Jay Snyder. 6-1. Oh, guess what? It's Boggles again.
Boggles again. This one's interesting, though. It has 3 ley lines mainboarded.
Yeah, I've seen some of them do that. Unflinching Courage. He's got double Spirit Mantle. I mean, what else can you say about this? He's got a Cartouche Solidarity. I saw this. I played against this card. It's also a way to get around Liliana, because it makes that extra guy. You can kind of save yourself. They just don't run hardly any creatures, though, you know? Yeah, 13, and one of them is a Dryad Arbor. So you got to mulligan a lot.
And 4 of them aren't hexproof.
Right, you know? So you got to mulligan a lot. 6-1, Monkey Yang. We've got a pretty cool list. I think is actually really cool, of Grixis Death Shadow. But we're running 2 Jace Friends Prodigies, thank you, main, and a Young Peasy main. What do you think about that?
Well, I like the Jace Friends Prodigy. I think that card's really good. The one of Young Peasy probably wins some games. You know, I really think that just
puts some blockers on the board, you know, or goes wide if you need to. Here's the cool thing. I really like the Vryn's Prodigy. So he's not running something that I think you could probably get away from at this point. And that card is the Pay 2 Life. What am I thinking of? Street Wraith. Thank you. Yeah, so he has no Street Wraith. Just Death Shadows, Jace Vryn's Prodigy, Snapcaster, Young Pyromancer, Tasker of the Golden Fling. Jace Vryn's Prodigy works really well with Claim to Fame. So for 3 mana, you bring back your Jace Vryn's Prodigy, give it haste, tap it, transform it, loot, transform it, and now you got a card that a Planeswalker on the board out of nowhere. Not to mention you've got your Young Pyromancers, your Snapcasters, your Death Shadows. It all come back to that. He's running 3 Culligan's Command, a Rise Fall. I think this list is sweet.
Yeah, I agree.
It's trying to go a different way that, you know, that then I think Death Shadow has been going for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're not on the race to see how low your life can get, mm-hmm. you can play a little bit longer game. Again, a Ravenous Trap in the sideboard, a couple Disdainful Strokes. I mean, he's a pretty controlling deck. He just has a quick clock when it's time to turn that corner.
And I think that's good. I think that's the direction Grixis Death Shadow needed to go in. I think it was getting a little ridiculous on the just all out, lose all the life and win.
God, I was horrible at it.
Yeah, it's just very... But playing the more control deck, I think, is good for it.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. It's like tempo control.
Yeah.
So, we also have Tron, 6-1 finish, Walking Ballista, 3 Worm Coils, an Ulamog, Karns, Ugin's, Ancient Sterns, you know, all the stuff. 3 Dismembers. This deck is so good. 4 Oblivion Stones, that card's so annoying. This deck is so good at getting Tron right away.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Thought Non-Seers in the sideboard, as well as a Thragtusk. You can play that cool mid-range game. Leyline of Sanctity, Spatial Contortions, and Nature's Claims. What do you think about this deck?
I really like this deck. I think this deck's pretty good. I'm glad you're finally on this deck. I think it's, you know, or not this deck particular, but the Eldrazi Taxes list, I guess. I think this deck goes big very fast. And so I do like that. For those listening, Oblivion Stone is very cheap right now. Pick up your playsets.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like the new art, get your playsets because they will go back up. No, I really like this list. I just like that it's probably consistent enough to win you a lot of games.
It just does. It just goes so big.
Yeah.
You know?
And the thing that I think makes this deck so hard to play is the sideboard. Just knowing what to take out and what to leave in every matchup, I think, is the most important thing for this deck. Especially in playing tricky games. Like, there's a lot of outs that you can have, and you just have to see the line.
Right. Followed by that is UBRG. Well, it's Dredge. Okay, Dredge. But this is like a new version of Dredge. It's been popping up. It's a lot of Rainbow Lands, right? And Fast Lands. So you're playing City of... No fetches. You got your Copper Line Gorge and your Mountains, but you've got 4 City of Brass, 4 Gemstone Mines, and 4 Mana Confluence. It's got a weird spell package, right? So mm-hmm. you've got your typical Dredge, you know, your Dredgers that you're used to, including Insolent, Neonate, and Blood Gas. You have 4 Life of the Loams because you've got all these, you know, lands that can... You need to be able to cast any amount of spells. A Driven to Despair in the main deck. A Knot of the Bone in the main deck. A Dark Blast in the main deck. 3 Conflagrates and 2 Burning Inquiries. This deck is going all at it. I've been playing against this deck a lot lately on Magic Online. I think this is a better version of Dredge than what we had been seeing.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems... I think the Rainbow Lands really helped.
Yeah, for sure. And this is probably the cheapest deck you can buy online right now, $202.
Well, Storm's a little cheaper, but
what
this
was
is,
Storm at?
Yeah, this is $150.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Fetchless Storm is like $150.
Yeah. But yeah, this is not a bad deck. And honestly, if you want to play Legacy right after that, it's not that much more expensive to port over. Well, that's not true. You still got LEDs, and LEDs are a little expensive online right now. 5-2 list, just to name a few. We've got an Eldrazi and Taxes, and this is our boy Stabilo. We are going to talk about this list for just a second because I am a fan of him as a player, and I am a fan of this list right now. Playing it, it's insane. You have so much play. For a deck that has no blue, it has and is almost all creatures, it's got some of the most interaction I've ever played.
Well, I mean, if you just go down the list of creatures, you have 4 Dark Confidence, 4 Leonin Arbiters, 3 Thalia Guardian Thraben, 4 Tidehollow Scholars, 4 Displacers, 4 Flicker Wisps, 3 Wasteland Stranglers, and 4 Thought Knot Seers.
Yeah.
There's so many combinations of creatures you could have on the field to make every game feel a little bit different.
I'm saying Displacer, Flicker Wisp, and Wasteland Strangler with Aether Vial are some of the craziest things you can do.
For sure.
Tidehollow Scholar. I mean, there's so many tricks and tips to play this deck. It is very hard. It's going to take me a long time to get good at it. I plan on talking with Stabilo about this. Your sideboard is just so good. A Gideon, an Orzhov Pontiff, an Aven Mind Sensor, 1 Zealous Persecution, which I forget about, but that card is insane.
Mm-hmm.
3 Stony Silence, 3 Rest in Peace. So you're just like, screw Affinity and screw Graveyard Strategies. Mm-hmm. Collective Brutality, all right, see ya burn. Fatal Push and Burton Forgetender, you're already getting to run one of the best removal spells in the format. Mixed with Leona and Arbiter makes it the best removal spell in the format.
And that Forgetender is probably a blowout for Anger of the Gods.
Yeah, it's great. You know, you just vial it in and see ya.
Yeah.
I thought not Seer too, just insane. I really hate not having Reality Smasher, but this deck has so much play that it doesn't matter. You Displacer and Wasteland Strangler are so good. Mm-hmm. Really like this deck. I kind of like that they're going to four Dark Confidants too, because you just keep you need the cards.
Yeah.
But yeah, Stablo, congratulations on that. Eldrazi Trons down here, you know, a bunch of Jeskai Control, some Jund. Let's take a look at one of these Jund lists. These Jund lists are pretty stock, you know? But the thing is about Jund, though, is we just are not seeing that as much anymore. But with Lightning Bolt being back, do you think Jund is kind of a good place to be?
I think so. I think Jund can beat the more tempo version of Jeskai Control and has game against the actual Jeskai Control.
And Tarmogoyf is good against Lightning Bolt. Yeah. So if Bolt is going to be, if it's not going to be as much Fatal Push, Bolt seems, you know, strong.
Yeah.
Or like Tarmogoyf seems stronger again.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that they're running two Grim Lavamancers. I think this card has seen an uptick. It does a lot of work somehow, you know? I like this card. I think it's cool they're playing two main ones. And the Tireless Tracker is just wow you, as the kids say it. Do you see anything else just kind of cool in this? What's this? It's low down on the list, but we can just look at, nope, this is fairies. Nah, not interested in that. Sorry. That's pretty much it for the regional PTQ and the challenge. So, knowing that and talking about these lists, Nate, going into this Season 2 Invitational, what deck are you packing to try to beat the metagame? And, you know, how are you preparing? How would you be preparing for this?
Oh, geez. I think that you want to play against a lot of Jeskai Control. I think that you'll see that deck throughout the day.
So is that what you're playing? Are you playing the you can't beat them, join them? I know you have a preference to that anyways, but
I think I'm probably on a Thoughtseize strategy. I don't know what strategy it would be. I think Thoughtseize is really good. I don't know. It might be time for, you know, Eldrazi Taxes to come out. It might be time for a more Thoughtseize traditional deck to come out, like Grixis Death Shadow. It's just hard to get away from some of those combo decks, though, you know?
Yeah. I can tell you exactly what I would be on. If Jeskai is the number one deck right now, or it will be the number one deck, I'm playing Amulet Combo and I'm crushing it all day.
Oh, for sure.
It just is so hard for them to beat how repetitive and redundant your deck is.
Yeah.
And you can sneak in amulets usually underneath a counterspell, you know, and Titan Shift, I think they have a harder time with, but if I get a Cavern out and I can just cast primetime after primetime after primetime, give them all haste, they have a really hard time dealing with it. I also think Boggles, like we were saying, would be really good. Mm-hmm. But I agree, man. So say everybody comes with Thoughtseize strategies trying to beat the control decks, then my amulet combo is going to be pretty bad.
Yeah.
So what, you know, you never know how do you level up the game.
It's hard.
Or do you just go and play Jeskai? I think Jeskai is going to do very well, though.
Yeah.
At this thing. I can definitely see some people trying to spike Boggles, though.
Mm-hmm. I think Boggles is a good deck, too. So I could really get behind Boggles. It's just such a blowout and a long day if you go against Liliana after Liliana.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. We saw Elf Kid doing... Where was Elf Kid? Okay, Elf Kid was playing Boggles in the Modern Challenge. Then on Sunday, Elf Kid comes through and goes 6-1 with Burn in the Legacy Challenge. I think just a shout out to him. That's some strong playing in both formats. In the Legacy Challenge, we have a 7-0 list, and it's Lands by Coley One. Pretty awesome. We've got Grixis Delver, Burn, and then White Blue, which is a Jace the Mind Sculptor Myth Realized standstill deck. Did you ever think you would hear Myth Realized in Legacy? Do you even remember what that card does?
I do.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
One white mana, whenever you cast a non-creature spell, put a lore counter on Myth Realized. For one or two colorless and a white, you can put a lore counter on Myth Realized. and then for one white until end of turn, Mithrilize becomes a avatar monk with creature's power and toughness equal to the number of lore counters. So you're playing standstills. You're just waiting to draw three cards. You got Terminus's Force of Will, Daze, Counterspell, Swords, Ponder, Brainstorm, Jace, and Snapcasters. This deck is real wild, real out there, but you know, again, you got some of the best sideboard cards you could ask for in white and blue.
Right.
We have Ad Nauseam, Death and Taxes, four color control, and a bunch of Grixis Delver, and even a mono red sneak attack sneaking in by Jeff Hoogland into the 5-2 bracket. We see some pretty good players here too. Pascal Maynard, he seems to like to play in here. Jeff Hoogland has seemed to all of a sudden be a pretty big Legacy fan. I don't think he ever really, he always kind of talked bad about it. We even got Nola Gold, which is Jody Keith. He's playing lands, but he only did 4-3. So that's kind of a bummer for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We have a quick thing to talk about. And we're not going to get too serious about it. But we do want to talk about the fact that this last weekend, this Thanksgiving weekend, the weekend we should be thankful for and be thankful for our friends and our family and our community, we did have kind of an issue going on where a prominent Magic figure, right? I would call her a Magic figure, decided she was going to leave the game, basically, the sport, because of harassment. And we're not going to get deep into the story. You can obviously, you can look it up if you want, but we're losing somebody who brought joy to other people because somebody else in our community or a multitude of people were just being mean. Mm-hmm. I mean, just harassing or not bringing, you know, all we want to say is like, we're not on this podcast. This game is fun to us. We love this game, right? It's the best game in the world.
Yeah.
I don't think either one of us are trying to get in the middle of some sort of, and I feel like there's this weird thing going on now on Magic Twitter where people like getting into these, they're starting to like the argument. They're starting to like the trolley.
Heated debates of what to do and what's appropriate and what's not appropriate.
It seems like every weekend or every week there's a new thing going on where people on Twitter are just going to, you know, type at each other about, here's the thing. Just be nice to one of another. You know, everyone is entitled to their own opinion. And the big thing going around was like, should people just have tougher skin? I think it's yes and no. I mean, yeah. Everybody should learn that there's going to be people who say bad things and you're going to have to deal with that. That's just part of, you know, that's part of being in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. But it's also, you shouldn't have to deal with it on a regular, you know, you shouldn't have to be, it shouldn't be a constant thing. And I just want to know, I just want people to know that on this podcast, we're not going to, you know, talk bad about people. We're not going to, we're just going to try to do the best we can to avoid these things. Mm-hmm. We just wanted to bring it up and let people know that we are aware of what was happening. We just don't want to bring light to it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a white knight and I don't want to be a social justice warrior. At the same time, I don't want anybody being treated wrong. But we're a podcast for Magic the Gathering. We're a podcast for Eternal. We're a podcast for Grinders. We're not a gossip column.
Right. And it's hard to get in the middle of something. It's hard to pick a side because then you alienate, you know, half of your listeners or the other half.
Well, that, and we also don't know these people.
Yeah,
you know,
we don't know anything from Joe. About, we don't know their personal lives. We don't know.
I have no, I mean, I know what it sounds like through listening through Magic Twitter and all this, that it sounds like this side or that side is correct, but there's, I don't know them. And so right. I'm just saying, I'm giving everybody the benefit of the doubt that hopefully, you know, I agree that there are some things that just shouldn't go on in Magic. And it looks like we've been crossing those lines a little bit. But on this podcast, this is the last thing you're going to hear us say about this. And we're going to try to stay out of the only thing we might get into is some cheating. We might talk about, you know, if people are getting DQ'd or cheating, but other than that, we're going to stay out of the gossip and the Magic hearsay.
Political side of Magic.
Yeah. So, with that being said, I think that's pretty much going to wrap this week's episode up of Tilted Pod. Mm-hmm. I would kindly ask you, though, that to like, subscribe, comment, rate, whatever, tweet at us, do whatever you can to reach out. We'd also like to start getting the tilt of the week. Everybody hates bad beat stories, but if you've got a particularly good one, I would love to hear it. We would love to hear it. It's kind of fun to hear it. We'll go through them. And if you also have like a good win of the week, just like if there was like, holy crap, or also if there's a positive anything, like say something positive in Magic, because we hear about a lot of negativity. If something positive happened to you at a tournament or with another player or anything, why don't you let us know that as well? The thing I kind of want to say, though, is like we need your help as a community to continue doing what we're doing. We do it because we love it. But we really would like as much interaction as possible. We're gonna, I'm putting out more videos every week. We're gonna have at least one video series come out a week, a podcast every week, and we'd like to start getting to the point where we're able to open up a Patreon when we think that we're giving you enough that you might want to help out. But right now, the only help we need is we just need interaction, and we just need. I mean, we just want people to hang out with us. We want people to talk about us, and we want topics to talk about. Mm-hmm. And we want to help anybody we can.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, like I said, like again, like we say every week, if you comment or subscribe or like, you send us a snap, a video of that, or you send us a screenshot of that, we will send you some packs, our FNM winnings every week. And yeah, that's it, man. So. From our basement to your ears, this is Tilt the Pod, and we out.
Ciao.